All right, y'all, welcome to the show. So today, I'm going to play for you probably the single most devastating anti-Trump ad that I've seen yet. I'm going to leave with that in just a minute. The nice little cherry on top is that this is actually running on Fox News. Look, I don't think that's the target audience who would be receptive to an anti-Trump ad, but nonetheless, I respect the degree of trolling there. We'll also get to the TikTok ban is donezo. It's here. And one senator in particular took to the floor and said the quiet part out loud. Basically, like, here's why we're actually banning TikTok. And it's just as ugly as you'd expect. Then we'll get to John Oliver absolutely ethering everybody who is whining about pro-Palestine protests. I love that clip. And then we'll also have Trump has been warned basically to make a deal in his criminal case. Like, you have experts being like, hey, dog, you're going down unless you try to cut a dealings in here and get out of Dodge. So we'll get to that. And then also, don't miss this segment. This is probably going to be my favorite segment of the day. We have Keith Olbermann goes to war against Stephen A. Smith. And you might be surprised to see what side I end up on in that one. It's an interesting one. Hang in there for it. You're not going to want to miss it. Hey, by the way, this week we have Dave Smith, libertarian Dave Smith, coming on Crystal Kyle and Friends. We're going to talk about his Israel debate where Cenk was on his side and then they were against Dennis Prager and Batya Unger Sargon. That should be really interesting. Maybe we'll get to some other stuff too. He's a libertarian. I'm a lefty, so there's definitely disagreements there. It'll be fun to have a big conversation. So everybody sign up Crystal Kyle and Friends on Substack below. You can sign up for free. Then you'll get the audio podcast when it drops on Saturday, or you could sign up and pay $5 a month and get the video. And that usually comes out on Friday, a day before. So anyway, check that out below and subscribe to the channel. While I'm at it doing shameless plugs, hook a brother up with a subscription. Okay, let's go ahead and dive into it here. So this is a new anti-Trump ad that is running on Fox News. Now, the reason why it is running on Fox News is because it's this group called the Republican Accountability Project. So these are like all really pissed off, scorned ex-Republicans who despise Trump. And so they're going after Trump and they're trying to do it to a conservative audience in an attempt to try to maybe change their mind a little bit. Now, is it going to work with the Fox News audience in particular? Doubt it. I mean, Fox News, that's like the core of Trump's cultish following. I mean, it's Fox News viewers, right? Well, anyway, look, this ad, as you're about to see, is kind of devastating. I have many thoughts on it, though, so let's watch.
I was wondering if you guys are hiring right now. I was thinking about applying for a job. I was thinking about applying for a job here. I'm currently facing 88 felonies. For detention of classified information. Do you all take people that have been found liable for sexual assault? Trying to overturn the 2020 election. Falsifying business records. I was wondering if that was going to be a problem.
You're working with diamonds and jewelry.
They're going to do a background check.
Yeah.
So that's the only.
So probably not.
Yeah.
So did you guys hire people that have been found liable for sexual assault or?
No. We want a full background.
Okay.
No, we don't.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Donald Trump has been charged with 88 felonies and found liable for sexual assault. If Trump is too big of a liability to get a job at your local mall, he is too big of a liability to be president of the United States. Republican Accountability PAC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Damn, son. Now that's an ad. Look, keep it real, man. Republicans know how to make hard-hitting ads. They just do. They know how to campaign. They know how to make hard-hitting ads. Because what they do that Democrats don't is they do relentless offense. They will find a weakness in the person or thing that they hate, and they will fucking just hammer away at it. That's what they do good. That's what they do right. So, I might surprise you with my full breakdown on this one in particular. So, on the one hand, let's talk about the positives. The positives are, look, I don't care how Teflon people think Trump is. An ad like this, pointing out these facts, making the comparison to a regular person and what they would be like if they faced the criminal charges Trump faces, that's going to land with normies. It simply is. Everybody on the Democratic side sees this and kind of nods their head in agreement. Most independents see this and nod their head in agreement. Even some like more moderate Republicans would look at this and nod their head in agreement. It's just true, right? If somebody has all of these criminal charges and they're found liable for, I'm surprised they didn't bring up the bank fraud and tax fraud and insurance fraud and the 78 kinds of fraud that he has to pay a fine $454 million for, right? I mean, that I think they bring that up as well, but they didn't. Like, this is just going to land with a normie audience, you know, like criminal. Where there's smoke, there's fire. He's a bad guy. He did these bad things. If you can't get a job, a normal job in a normal place, why the fuck would you want him to be president of the United States with the most important job ever? Right? That's powerful. That's a powerful message. It's a message that works. Again, I think the Fox News audience in particular is like the one audience that this wouldn't work with. But for everybody else, it kind of works. So I do think it's a good ad. That's on the positive side. We'll give them that. Look, on the negative side, and I don't know, man, maybe this is my, I'm libbing out over here. My lefty side is just screaming at me on this front. Like, I don't like the highlighting of the idea that a regular person who has a criminal record serves their time and then gets out, that like, society should still be assholes and punish those people. Right. And look, I have some personal experience with this. A really close friend of mine, he has a criminal record. It was some drug related stuff. And it is fucking nearly impossible for him to get a job. Now, thankfully, he has a job now. But like, it was a real fucking pain in the ass. Right. It really, really, really limited things that he could do with his life moving forward from now until the day he dies because he has a criminal record. And when you look at a guy like that, he definitely doesn't deserve it. Right? I mean, this is a guy who wouldn't hurt a fucking fly. He went through some rough patches in his life and he was involved in drugs and things of that nature. But overall, he's a good guy. He's a loyal guy. He's a hard worker. And now, because he's got a criminal record, it's just, this is what you run into, right? You run into like, no, fuck you. When the whole idea of, you know, rehabilitation and criminal justice is you served your debt to society, you know, you were locked up for X amount of time. The idea is the second you get out, now society gives you another chance. And they're not going to hold against you past sins. When you paid for those sins was when you were behind bars. And then when you're out, it should be, hey, back to normal life. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, people will hold it against you, right? People will hold it against you even if it wasn't a serious crime, even if you already served your time. And so that's the other thing. You could tell Republicans made this ad, right? Because I don't think Democrats would have highlighted it in this same way. Because it's almost like they're saying, yeah, of course you wouldn't give the asshole at the mall this job if he has a criminal record. Why would you give Trump the job of president? But like the lefty answer would be like, well, why shouldn't you give the guy the job at the mall, right? I mean, he served his time. He's out, clearly. So whatever crimes he committed. Now, I understand, by the way, there are some crimes where you look at and you go, that we're kind of not forgiving ever, right? And I actually agree with that. But those crimes are few and far between. Those crimes are, you know, murder, rape. But I guess you can say Trump maybe did, what was it, sexual assault or rape? Or I know it was defamation for E. Jean Carroll, but it was tied to some sexual assault thing, right? I don't know. Maybe you could point at that and say that's one of the things that's in the exceptions of like, sorry, we're just not going to fucking forgive you for that, right? But I don't know. Maybe my Libby side is... we're all such fucking assholes to people who serve their time, even if it's not a serious crime. And that, I think, needs to change. I think the stigma around that needs to go away, right? Again, not for the most extreme crimes, but if it's the most extreme crimes, they'd still be fucking locked up. They wouldn't be out having the opportunity to try to go get a job, right? So, I don't know, you guys tell me. But in terms of how hard-hitting the ad is, that's fucking undeniable. That's undeniable. And again, I think this works with a liberal audience. I think, and an independent audience. I think they were trying to tailor it to a conservative audience, the tough on crime type people. But the fact of the matter is, they don't actually hold that position as a principle. They don't. If they were actually tough on crime, Republicans would be leading the charge to get George W. Bush and Dick Cheney locked up for torture and illegal wars. They would be leading the charge to get fucking Wall Street bankers locked up for having fraud as a business model. You know, white collar criminals. They would really want to take those people down. They don't. They don't. They would be leading the charge to try to get Trump locked up. They're not actually tough on crime. In fact, they like it when it comes to something like torture, which is a crime. They want to do more torture. They want the U.S. government to do more torture. They're in favor of Israel committing every single fucking war crime under the sun right now. So they're not actually tough on crime. When they say tough on crime, they mean like, get these rowdy-ass black people and brown people under control. That's what they mean, right? Crack down on like Black Lives Matter protesters. We don't fucking like them. Tough on that crime. That's what they mean when they say. So it's not actually going to land with a conservative audience. I understand what they were aiming at here, but I think it kind of fell short on that front. But again, it's an ad that works, I think, with pretty much everybody else because it's hard hitting. And I, you know, if I was Biden, I would sort of bring up in every sentence. It used to be 91 criminal charges. Some of them went away. That's why it's 88 now. But 88 criminal charges. Yeah, 88 criminal charges. 88 criminal charges guy? Yeah, 88 criminal charges? Yeah. I would just say it every sentence. So that everybody, it becomes the duh position when talking about Trump. The second you say Trump, in the person's mind, pops up, oh, 88 criminal charges. That's how you define your opponent. And I think that works in the realm of politics. So the other day, we discussed this absolutely grotesque bill that got through the House, and now it got through the Senate. It's a bill that funds Israel, gives about, what, $26 billion to Israel, maybe a little more than that, gives about $60 billion to Ukraine, gives another $8 billion to Taiwan. So it funds those three, but then also, as part of it, is a TikTok ban. The idea is, like, forcing whoever's a Chinese owner or whatever to divest from the company within 9 months, something like that. Like, this is the gist of it. There were four separate bills. They were packaged together, sent to the Senate. The Senate passed it, right? Now, we picked this bill apart 14 ways to Sunday. I find it absolutely disgusting that we live in a country where 650,000 people are homeless, about 50,000 of them are veterans, and nobody calls an emergency session of Congress to say, we got to make sure we put a roof over all of our fellow Americans' heads. We're failing as a country. And we could have some people that have three yachts and four mansions, but you have a homeless veteran sleeping on the fucking street. You know, you got people, we're on the brink now of some billionaires maybe becoming trillionaires, and you can't tax fucking Jeff Bezos another 1% to put a roof over the head of a homeless veteran. What the fuck are we? All the things that are actually scandals, that's an actual crisis, that's actually an emergency which should be addressed right away. Medical debt, 41% of Americans have medical debt. This is incomprehensibly evil, right? Every other country, medical bills are not a thing. You go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, you leave, you're even Stevens. It's over. It's fair and square. You're done. It's paid for by your tax money. They prioritize, hey, this is something, just take it off the list. People shouldn't have to go bankrupt because of medical bills. Nobody calls an emergency session of Congress to address these things, ever. This is just how it is. It's fine. Whatever, leave it. But an emergency! We must send more money to Israel. We need to speed up the genocide and the ethnic cleansing. Like, this is what they do, right? What we have here is a guy by the name of Pete Ricketts, Senator Pete Ricketts. Let's just pause to reflect on how hilarious the last name Ricketts is. Okay. This guy comes out and says the quiet part out loud about the point of the TikTok ban. So I want to thank him for his honesty, but now you're going to know the real reason. Now, remember, they say, oh, it's for national security. That's why we're doing this, because we're concerned that the Chinese owners are sharing the data with the Chinese government, and we don't want Orwellian big government spying on our people. Ha ha, that is rich. They literally just passed a spy bill so that the U.S. government can illegally spy. Warrantless spying. They just did it. They just re-upped it. We've had this bullshit since the Patriot Act in the early 2000s. So you just did the spy thing. By the way, beyond that, but it's about China in particular. Hey, asshole, under the Trump administration, he signed a bill that allowed any company to sell your data to any third party that they want to. And it's perfectly legal. They don't need to ask your approval. You don't get to accept it or slap it down. They're just allowed to sell to whoever. Everybody already has all of our data. It's gone 15 ways to Sunday. But they say, oh, it's for national security and to stop the Communist Chinese Party from getting your information. Okay, that's what they say. What's the reality? Well, Mr. Ricketts boy is going to lay it out for us.
Look what's happening at our college campuses right now in this country. Pro-Hamas activists are taking over public spaces and making it impossible for campuses to operate. Jewish students are being told to leave campus because their universities can't guarantee their safety. There are a lot of other things wrong with this, including the failure to prioritize student safety over appeasement of terrorist sympathizers. But why is this happening? Well, let's look at where young people are getting their news. Nearly a third of eight adults, 18 to 29, these young people in the U.S. are regularly getting their news exclusively from TikTok. Pro-Palestinian and Hamas, pro-Hamas hashtags are generating 50 times the views on TikTok right now, despite the fact that polling shows Americans overwhelmingly support Israel over Hamas. These videos have more reach than the top 10 U.S. news websites combined. This is not coincidence. The Chinese Communist Party is doing this on purpose. They are pushing this racist agenda with the intention of undermining our democratic values. And if you look at what's happening at Columbia University and other campuses across the country right now, they're winning.
That's the real story. The real story is elites are absolutely terrified that they're losing control of the narrative. They see that the younger generation is very pro-Palestinian. They're getting a lot of devastating videos served up to them directly on TikTok. Maybe you see a toddler being pulled out from underneath the rubble with no legs. Turns out there's 50 times more pro-Palestinian stuff on TikTok than there is pro-Israel stuff. And so what was their reaction? Ban it. So our decrepit old leaders, who are funded by AIPAC and DMFI and the Israel lobby, they take hundreds of thousands apiece, sometimes millions apiece. They get paid by a foreign lobby, the Israel lobby. Then they turn around and ban free speech on a social media app to serve that foreign lobby. Let me ask you a question. How is that not you being a traitor to your country? How is that not you serving the interests of Israel over the interests of your constituents in the United States of America? In this country, you're allowed to protest and boycott this country. You can protest and boycott the United States in the United States. But there's a bunch of laws on the books in a bunch of different red states that say you can't boycott Israel. In order to get hurricane relief money in Texas, you had to sign something saying I'm not going to boycott Israel. And now Israel gets involved in our domestic politics and has an app banned on it because there's too much anti-Israel speech on it. How is that not a massive affront to the First Amendment of the United States? How is that not a crackdown on free speech and free expression and freedom to protest? Because you heard how he was talking about the protesters too. Look, again, credit because he's being honest. He's saying this is what this is really about. This is what this is really about. Then let's go through some of the specific arguments he made. He said, well, I mean, this is an outrage because TikTok is very pro-Palestinian, but polls show Israel is supported over Hamas. Well, when you frame it that way, of course Israel is going to be supported over Hamas. The way you would poll that, that would make sense is Israel versus Palestine, right? Or you ask questions specifically pertaining to the genocide and the ethnic cleansing going on now. Like, do you support a ceasefire? Things of that nature. Do you think it's a genocide? Things of that nature. And on all the relevant questions, the majority, not just of young people, not just of Democrats, not just of independents, but even on some polls, the majority of Republicans say, yes, we want a ceasefire. Yes, we want to stop arming them. Yes, this has gone too far. Over 50% of Biden voters now say it's a genocide. And more than that, say it might be a genocide. So he just like he's lying to try to say, he's trying to say TikTok pro-Palestine stuff is inauthentic because our country is so overwhelmingly pro-Israel, but TikTok is very pro-Palestinian. In other words, he's saying this has to be astroturfed. This has to be fake because everybody's pro-Israel. Think about how absurd that is. We're how many months deep now into an outright genocide and ethnic cleansing where 41,000 Palestinians are dead, 36,000 of them are innocent civilians, 15,000 kids, 9,000 women, 2 million out of 2.3 million Gazans are now homeless. Hundreds of thousands of homes are destroyed. Hospitals bombed, churches bombed, mosques bombed, marketplaces bombed, factories bombed, UN buildings bombed. You think it's It has to be inauthentic for people to support Palestinians in the context of what's going on right now? Are you dense? Of course it's organic. Of course it's organic. Young people can't stand to see another video of a fucking toddler being carpet bombed, you absolute psychopath. And then, of course, he also lies about, he says TikTok is pro-Hamas. These guys conflate Palestinians with Hamas all the time to try to make it seem like if you take the position you're taking, you're in favor of a terrorist group, as opposed to you're in favor of women and children not being bombed. Then he says, Jewish students aren't safe on campus. You know what? He's right about that one, but not in the way he thinks. It's Jewish leaders of pro-Palestinian movements, like the leaders of Jewish Voice for Peace. Those Jewish leaders aren't safe. Why? Because the NYPD came in and started cracking some skulls of protesters. Because the administrators at this school might end up suspending or expelling some of these students who are just expressing their free speech and standing up because they have a moral compass. But look, there you go. It's got nothing to do with China. It's got nothing to do with China. This is the veneer. This is the front story for what the real reason is. We've lost control of the narrative among young people. The head of the ADL, Greenblatt, he came out and said this recently. It was secretly recorded and on a call, and he was very clear. He said, look, we have a young person problem. It's not Democrat versus Republican. It's not right versus left. It's young people are the problem. They are not pro-Israel. And we have a TikTok problem. He said, we have a TikTok problem. Because in his mind, well, this is the source of it. So ban it. Ban it so people can't get a pro-Palestine perspective. Ban it so we can continue to propagandize and control the narrative and get people to not pay attention to or passively support an active genocide and ethnic cleansing against the Palestinian people. That's what it's really about. TikTok is very pro-Palestine, and they find that unacceptable. And they're very powerful. By the way, great move there, Joe Biden. During an election, Joe Biden joined TikTok not that long ago. On the one hand, he's going to goof around and have fun and be, tee-hee-hee, I'm like your uncle as president, tee-hee-hee, or maybe your grandpa. I'm a good guy. Here, watch a funny video of me eating an ice cream cone in aviators. On the one hand, he's on TikTok, and on the other hand, he's going to sign a ban on it. Yeah, the group of voters that you're really struggling with at the moment, young people, great way to try to get them on your side to ban their favorite fucking app. You absolute mental midget. Jesus Christ. There you go. That's the true story. So the other day we discussed how colossally unhinged the media has been while discussing these pro-Palestine protests at various colleges and universities. Basically what I'm seeing is wall-to-wall straw man arguments. So you had, the gist of it is, as the Wall Street Journal laid out, who's funding this? It's Hamas or Hezbollah or the Houthis are funding this. And then the media chimes in and goes, they're all anti-Semites. And that's why they're doing this, because they hate Jews. They want to genocide the Jews. This is what they say, right? And what's their evidence for it? They're chanting things like, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. How many times do we have to go over this? Yes. When a Hamas spokesperson says, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, and they pair that with, we're going to do 1,000 October 7ths. Yes, that is condemnation worthy, and that is a problem, and that guy is a terrorist. When a fucking college kid with purple hair says, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, ask them what they mean. And what they'll tell you, in a very straightforward way, is, we want equal rights for everybody. We want one democratic secular state in the region where Israelis and Palestinians and Muslims and Jews and Christians and whoever else can live lives where they're equal under the law, everybody's protected, and we have justice. That's what they stop trying to pretend like they believe something they don't believe. It is so fucking obnoxious. Maybe you could point to a handful of the people who are there. This one actually supports Hamas. Okay. That one person is very, very bad, and I condemn them. But over 95% of the fucking people at these protests, what they want is very straightforward. Number one, have my university divest from their connections with Israel. Perfectly understandable, perfectly reasonable. Number two, stop the genocide. Stop the U.S. arming and funding it, and stop the genocide. Stop killing over 40,000 Palestinians. But no, they strawman them, they smear them. So I'm just going to remind you how bad it is. We'll play this little compilation of the clips of what the media was saying. And then I have a great, we have John Oliver basically responding to the outrage and the fake meltdown over these pro-Palestine protesters. And it is just, mwah. Thank God in this instance for John Oliver. Thank God for John Stewart being a rare voice of reason on all these different issues. They're a breath of fresh air in a decrepit corporate media structure where everybody is doing fake outrage and narrative humping and trying to smear anybody who's pro-Palestine as an evil terrorist supporter.
Both professors and students within the university who say things that I think cross the line, and there should be accountability. I believe in free speech. Say whatever you want, but pay the consequences and don't have your face covered. I don't think that should be allowed.
These are not protesters. These are violent hate.
By the way, I wonder why they're covering their face. I wonder why. It couldn't be because they're terrified of the university cracking down on them, expelling them, suspending them, kicking them out completely. The University of Columbia called in the NYPD. Maybe they're afraid of legal consequences, even though they're not doing anything wrong.
The things that are coming out of their mouth, burn down Tel Aviv genocide. We, October 7th, we did it once. We'll do it 10 times. We'll do it 100 times. We'll do it 1,000 times. We'll do it 10,000 times. This is an atrocity. And I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. If there was any group spewing hate and violence against any other group, Asians, Blacks, Hispanics, gays, it would be shut down. And this needs to be shut down immediately because, and once again, those groups are back. Those tents are back up.
By the way, the thing that he says the protesters are saying, I looked for evidence of that. The only thing I found was the Burn Tel Aviv one. Barak Ravid, who is the, I think he works for Axios, he had tweeted that video. And then when I went to click on it to expand it, it was deleted. So I think that one might be fake. People are pushing this around as if it's real, but it's fake. A lot of the more extreme claims that are made about the protesters just fall apart under minimal scrutiny. There was the idea that this woman, this pro-Israeli woman got poked in the eye with a Palestinian flag. Well, we have video. That didn't fucking happen. It was a lie. It was a lie. By the way, how many violent instances have there been at these protests? You could point to maybe one or two that were not actually at student protests that were outside of the university. There was maybe one guy got punched, right? But outside of that, all these people are being fucking peaceful. And a lot of the things that they're accusing them of saying, I don't actually see evidence that they're saying it. It's very clear. Everybody knows why they're out there. Everybody knows why they're out there. Divest the university from Israel, stop the genocide. That's what they're doing. That's their point.
You know, there's a continuum of protesters. There's a heinous anti-violent ones that spewing hatred, spewing death, if you will. And then there's the less malignant that say ceasefire. But even ceasefire doesn't have the word peace in it. Never do you hear the word peace because this side doesn't want peace.
The people who are trying to protest the genocide in Gaza don't want peace. You're the guy who doesn't want peace. Everybody who's either directly or indirectly defending the actions of the Israeli government, you're the ones who don't want peace. You're the ones who are pro-genocide. And history will not look back on you kindly.
And this is not pro-Palestinian. This is anti-Israel. And anti-Israel is a misnomer because it's really anti-Jew.
Oh! So many of the leaders of this pro-Palestine protest movement are Jewish! And they're being erased. They're being smeared. You tell me who the anti-Semite is.
It's not almost anti-Semitism. It is anti-Semitism. And this is something that is on display right now. But the sort of roots of this kind of devolving from A to B go back millennia. And this is something, the roots of anti-Semitism that pop up in societies that frankly tend to be a canary in the coal mine for a society and a democracy in this case that is in a lot of trouble.
Why isn't Israel the democracy that's in a lot of trouble? Because they killed 41,000 Palestinians, including 36,000 civilians, 15,000 children, 9,000 women, 2 million out of 2.3 million Gazans now are homeless because Israel bombed the shit out of their homes. They attacked the UN. They attacked churches and mosques and schools and hospitals. Why is it that democracy seems to be in trouble? Because they're acting a wee bit genocidal. No, it's our democracy is in trouble. Because people are protesting and speaking up against the genocide.
I like to look at this and replace Jews with any other minority group here. And what would the entire country be doing? They would be outraged, rightly so.
You get the gist of it. Here's John Oliver's response to the outrage over the pro-Palestine protests.
The cause is maybe right. You know, one side, there's two sides to every situation, but it's not the way to do it. They're not gaining any fans.
By the way, that guy is referring to blocking the airport. Remember that? I think the Golden Gate Bridge was blocked and the airport was, a number of airports were blocked. And look, on that one, I'm sympathetic. I think the better protest is to block the ships with the weapons from going to Israel. I think the better protest is interrupting the politicians who are funding Israel and arming Israel. I think all that's better. But having said that, he's going to take aim at everybody who's whining and bitching and moaning about the protesters, regardless of the specifics of what the individual protesters are doing.
Travel tip. If you think you're going to miss your flight, maybe try running to the gate instead of stopping to talk to the press. But I do get that that is annoying. Although, for the record, protest is kind of meant to be disruptive. It's a little bit the point. As for the causes may be right, that is putting it mildly. Because the situation in Gaza is horrific. At least 34,000 people have been killed, most of them women and children. Many Israelis are also protesting their government's actions, which have, for all the bloodshed they've caused, failed to secure the freedom of the remaining hostages. And yet, the US continues to supply Israel with funding and arms for all of this, even as Gaza sinks into famine. If that's not worth protesting, I'm not sure what is.
I think that actually gets to the core of why I've been so frustrated watching this media chatter about these protests on college campuses. Because it's like, if you're not willing to look at this moment in history, just based on all the facts and how everything's unfolding, and realize that this is fucking a historic atrocity, if you can't realize that, then I think you're blind. I think you're blind. I think you're biased. I think the groupthink in these elite media circles is so strong and pervasive that they can't fucking see straight. Like, if there was ever any time to protest and be really unapologetic about it too, by the way, it's right now. How many more Palestinians have to die before this gets treated with, you know, the degree of seriousness that it deserves? We're at 41,000 now, according to the Euromed Monitor, the human rights group. What, does it have to be 100,000? Does it have to be 150,000? Does it have to be 300,000? For real, how many need to die? And look, I think the sad reality, and this is a fucking dark, dark moment to acknowledge this, but I think the reality is, even if there were 300,000 Palestinians dead, I think the media would still be treating these protests the same way. And I think they would still be saying the kids are just anti-Semitic and they just hate all Jews and they're pro-Hamas and maybe they're funded by Hamas and we need to shut it down. Forget free speech, forget the First Amendment. Let's straw man their motives and what they believe, and then let's also use the power of the state to crack down on them. And then, you know, hey, stretch this further. What if Gaza got nuked by Israel? Would the media find a way to sort of like justify it, rationalize it? Would they find a way to go after the protesters who are against it? I mean, I think the answer is yes, based on everything we've seen, right? John Oliver's not done, though.
Even some of those disrupted passengers seem to concede, when pressed even slightly, that the inconvenience wasn't that bad.
I think Chicago Police Department failed. They should have anticipated this. They should have known about it in advance. What are they doing?
And what's going to happen to you and your flight now?
I'll just get another one. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. I mean, that de-escalated fast there. Although I guess it was always going to, because what kind of question is, what's going to happen to you and your flight? What else is that man going to say? Have you ever seen The Terminal? Yeah, I have to live here now, but you know what? I'll just do it. It'll be fine. And look, I'm not saying every protest has been universally well executed, but it is notable the degree to which demonstrations concerning Palestine tend to get shut down, and how comfortable some have been in advocating violence against protesters. Just this week, Senator Tom Cotton, a man with, I think it's fair to say, entirely too much neck, called into Fox News to say this.
If something like this happened in Arkansas on a bridge there, let's just say I think there'd be a lot of very wet criminals that have been tossed overboard. And I would encourage most people anywhere that get stuck behind criminals like this who are trying to block traffic to take matters in their own hands.
Okay, it is the least important part of this, but you don't say overboard when you're talking about a bridge. You're thinking of a boat, bitch.
By the way, he referred to the protesters as criminals there. To him, you are not a criminal if you are purposely carpet bombing children. That's not a criminal. That's our dear Democratic ally. But you're a criminal if you protest the carpet bombing of children. just so we're clear about the priorities. That's just a little snippet. And by the way, I hope they might knock me on copyright. HBO sometimes is a bitch with that. So hook a brother up with a Patreon subscription, because this one might, I might get knocked on this one. Anyway, thank God somebody's out there saying good things about the protests. It's just the media is so disconnected, and they're so vile and vicious, and they smear so much. And like, again, I can't avoid the conclusion that a lot of these people are just being dishonest. Like, it is just dishonest. It is working backwards from your conclusion of supporting Israel, and Israel does no wrong. And it doesn't matter if you have to twist facts, you have to lie, you have to strawman to get to that place. That's what they do. And we've seen it time and time again. And it is, I'll never get used to it, and I'll never be okay with it. So Fox News is, of course, covering the Trump trials. And I mean, I guess this is what you'd expect from Fox here, but this woman is going to go into just a totally unhinged rage rant about how now she isn't proud of America because of Trump being on trial. And anyway, all right, let me shut up and just show you.
Caroline, you were in the courtroom today, too. Your observations.
Well, I will say, Sean, like millions of your viewers, I consider myself to be a proud American. But after sitting in that dirty, disgusting criminal courtroom today, watching the former president of the United States being persecuted like a criminal, I don't know if I'm so proud to be an American anymore.
Yeah, he's in a criminal courtroom because he's brought up on criminal charges because he committed said crimes. By the way, remember when Republicans flipped out at Michelle Obama because Michelle Obama said, like, for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country? I think it was, what, when Obama got nominated or something like that? They flipped out. How dare you? You'd be proud of your country all the time. Well, here we go. Now they are making the exact same argument, and she loses faith because Trump. By the way, imagine being as old as she is and never being disappointed in your country to this point. Did you miss the whole Iraq war? Did you miss the torture scandal? Did you miss, hey, I know she's a partisan hack Republican. Did you miss the report on the drone strikes under Obama from Daniel Hale, where he was getting 90% the wrong people? Like, really? There's nothing, there's no other point where you were like, you know what? This is kind of sad. I don't like this. This is kind of sad. I mean, again, even from a conservative perspective, you weren't, I don't know, when the Supreme Court upheld Obamacare, or when John McCain upheld Obamacare. You weren't like, what is this? It's just performative virtue signaling about Trump's a victim, Trump's a victim. It's that shit.
Watching the former president of the United States being persecuted like a criminal, I don't know if I'm so proud to be an American anymore. Meanwhile, there are real criminals running free in the streets of this city every single day, being released by the same Democrat prosecutor who is going after President Trump. It is a tremendous waste of taxpayer dollars. It's a tremendous waste of time. And as I was exiting the courtroom today, I stopped by a New York police officer who was forced to stand guard and protect the courthouse. And you know what he said? He said, I am so sorry you guys have to be here. And I looked at him and I said, I am sorry you have to be here, because there is no crime that brought this case to this courtroom. It would have been laughed out of any other courtroom in America if not being brought by far left district attorney Alvin Bragg, overseen by a Democrat judge who donated money to Joe Biden's campaign.
Guys, here's why I can't take these people seriously. Here's why I can't take these people seriously. I've seen 1,000 segments like this, right? Not one of them has gone into the specifics of the case or cases. Not a single one of them has said, okay, let's go through the charges. Let me tell you why I think this charge is bullshit and that charge is bullshit and this charge is bullshit. And look, I'm okay with, you want to have a healthy skepticism? Okay, fair enough, right? But you're telling me, of the 88 criminal charges, I should say, and the 4 indictments, you don't think even one of them is legit? You think all 88 charges are bullshit and wrong? Okay, well, again, if you want to make that argument, that's a tough argument to make, but if you want to make that argument, I would love to see you break down each and every one of them and explain. This is what drove me crazy about the fraud case, too. There's a reason why I went through the indictments with a fine-tooth comb. There's a reason why I went through like the evidence that was laid out with a fine-tooth comb, because nobody else was doing it, and so I wanted to explain to you like the inner workings of every piece of fraud that Donald Trump committed, and nobody else would do it. And so what do you get? Now you get these idiots going on the media and just saying things like, oh, it's a witch hunt, and he's being persecuted, and they're treating him like a criminal, and this charge would have been thrown out if it was anybody else. Well, how many different state charges do you need, and how many different federal charges do you need from different prosecutors for you to, hey, maybe this actually isn't a witch hunt, right? Is there any set of facts where this woman would say, you know what, this isn't a witch hunt, some of this is legit? There's no set of facts. Like, you're just a partisan hack. And by the way, for anybody who might hear this and say, well, Kyle, you do the same thing, but on the other side, wrong. You go back and watch the video when they were talking about the investigation into Hillary. And Comey came out and listed, here are the things that we found. He listed a number of crimes. And then at the end of it, he said, and we're not going to charge her. And I was like, you should fucking charge her. You just listed a number of crimes she committed. Why would you not charge her? Right? So I'm on the side of, if they commit a fucking crime, charge them. And what you see is that these people, they basically want to carve out a special zone for Trump, where it's like, whatever he does is legal by definition. And you see Trump do this too. He talks about, we need full and total presidential immunity. He'll say that in one sentence, and then in the next sentence he'll say, and we need to charge Joe Biden. But if you're talking about criminal immunity, if it applies to you, it would apply to, presidential immunity, it would apply to him too. It would apply to him too. He's also a president. Oh my God, I can't. But like, this is the sort of low effort, low energy bullshit. Like, of course this woman would be on Hannity's show. This is all he wants. Fucking catnip for his morons who watch him. It's a witch hunt against Trump. It's all a witch hunt. Not a single one of them charges is legit, man. Not a single. Okay, that was a terrible accent. I don't even know what kind of accent that was.
Far left district attorney Alvin Bragg, overseen by a Democrat judge who donated money to Joe Biden's campaign. And let's not forget why this case is being led. It's because we have a Democrat president in the White House, in Joe Biden, who is concocting all of these Biden trials behind the scenes in an attempt to interfere in this election and weaken his political opposition.
Every part of that is false. Every part of that. Biden has nothing to do with any of this shit. Literally nothing to do with any of it. And by the way, which is it? Is Joe Biden weak and senile and dementia laden and can't even put on his fucking shoes right in the morning? Doesn't know where he is. Is he that? Or is he the grand puppet master pulling the strings for this great conspiracy to take down Trump? You can't have it both ways.
What we see in banana republics, third world countries, not the United States of America. But unfortunately for the Democrats, Sean, it is backfiring on them.
If you want to talk about banana republics, a banana republic thing to do is trying to steal the last election. That's what Trump did. He had the fake elector slate, the fraudulent elector slate. That's their words, not my words. They knew it was fake. They knew it was illegal. They went forward with it anyway. Okay? That is banana republic stuff. Calling senators at the last minute saying, please reject the results of the election. Pressuring Mike Pence, trying to get him to reject the results of the election. That's banana republic stuff, excuse me. But then she goes on to put the icing on the cake. You've all heard this point before. Ready?
President Trump is tough and he's tenacious and he continues to increase his support in the polls.
Another lie. Even that's a lie. His polls have been going down for the past 3 months. How are you supposed to handle and deal with what's supposed to be a news network where every sentence, one after the next, is a bigger lie than the thing before? None of that was true. None of it. You could easily just go fucking check the polling trends. Just go check the polling trends. Trump has gone down. Oh, he's going up. He's not going up. He went up in the primary every time there was a new legal charge or indictment against him. That's true. We're not in the primary anymore. We're in the general, and his polls are going down. Look, I honestly don't think it can be overstated just how disastrous this channel is for this country. Because how many people's fucking you know, 54-year-old uncle watches this all day, all night, at least 2 or 3 hours a day of the programming, takes it hook, line, and sinker, believes every word, thinks they're telling the truth, and everybody in the liberal media is a liar, and then this really shapes their worldview. If you want to know why we live in a country now where it's almost impossible to have a real, detailed, policy-driven conversation between a Republican and a Democrat, I think they are one of the biggest things to blame, Fox News. Because it is true that now we live in a world where there is no shared, like, well, here's the actual information, and then we could disagree on our interpretation of the information or the solution to the problems that we agree the problem is real. Now it's just they don't think the problem is real. They don't believe in the facts and the information. They just live in a totally different reality. Trump's the main character. Trump's the victim. The deep state and the Democrats are trying to take him down simply because he wants to help the American people, and they're standing in the way because they're nefarious, evil, bad. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? I wouldn't even know where to begin trying to de-radicalize and remove the layers of propaganda. Because for some people, it's like they're going to be too far gone if they're fed a steady diet of this all day, every day. They're going to be too far gone. And I don't know how to handle that. I fancy my chances on de-radicalizing people in this, like, internet space. If, you know, maybe they were fed a steady diet of Ben Shapiro for a year, or Steven Crowder or something. There, I fancy my chances. Yeah, we'll work you out of this, right? We'll de-radicalize you. You'll understand the real information. Somebody who's a 10-year, 15-year Fox News viewer, what do I do with that? What do I do with that? I don't know. It's just total propaganda 24/7 and brainwashing so many people into believing this hero narrative about Trump, that he is being persecuted because he is the savior and the Democrats are nefarious, evil people. Not that Occam's razor, of course, is Trump is being charged criminally because he committed a lot of crimes. And if anything, he's lucky he got as far as he did without being charged. That's the two-tier justice system, is that for the longest time, even though we knew this guy was a criminal, nobody lifted a finger to try to stop him. Because he's wealthy, because he's powerful, because he was a former president. There's the two-tier justice system. He should have gone down a long, long time ago. So I love when the media does this kind of segment that I'm about to show you here. And we've seen it, to be fair, it's not just Fox News. We've seen that even in like the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN, what they'll do is they'll go to a diner at 6 a.m. in the middle of rural Bumblefucksville, Iowa, right? And they'll ask these people about politics. I mean, look, that's no different than going to like the middle of a gay bar in San Francisco at 2 a.m. and asking them about their politics. You're going to get an overwhelmingly conservative Republican view in the diner at 6 a.m. in Iowa, in rural America. Of course. Just like if you ask the guy in the gay bar wearing assless chaps at 2 a.m. in San Francisco his view on politics, he might say some pretty freaking lefty things, don't you think? So, but they treat it as like, ooh, this is a good indication of how everybody feels because we're in a diner in rural America at 6 a.m. Okay, so you guys, the deck is stacked here, right? The well is poisoned. They know what they're going to get. So anyway, here they are. This is in Michigan, in a diner at 6:19 a.m., and Fox and Friends are going to go and ask around, talk to these people about politics. Just watch. I don't even know what else to say. Just watch this.
I don't know how this is going to land with a jury, much less the public.
Yeah, Will, you make an interesting point because you talk about the case. And as you know, the former president continues to make this theme that they're after you, the American public. This is not about me. This is about targeting a political opponent.
I hate that point so much. They're not after me. They're after you, is what Trump would say. They're after all of my big, beautiful constituents. They're after you, the American people, not after me. No, they are literally just after you. They're after you. It's you trying to overthrow the last election, committing 75 different types of fraud, doing defamation after the sexual assault. They're after you. So it's, he spins everything, right? Oh my God, it's so unfair. They're not coming after me. They're coming after you. And what happens? Well, some of his people, they go for it.
This young lady right here. Hey, how you doing? Good morning. We were talking about the former president being under prosecution right now.
For everybody just listening to this and not watching, she's wrapped in a Trump flag. She wrapped herself in a Trump flag. This will be good.
What do you make of it? Do you think that is fair?
No, I don't think it's fair. It's ridiculous. They're just trying to keep him busy so he can't run.
You were telling me yesterday that as you thought about the case and you were watching about what was going on in New York, that it brought you to tears. Why is that?
Tears, because we need Trump back or else we're going to lose our country. We're going to lose our country. And it just, and what's happening with these protesters is heartbreaking. It's history happening all over again, and they don't understand how bad it could get or will get if we don't get Trump back in.
She was crying. She was crying. She's wrapped in a Trump flag and crying, saying we need Trump back. And then there was a random shot at the pro-Palestine protesters in Colombia. What do you want to do about the protesters? NYPD already went in there and cracked some skulls. I'm sure you like that, didn't you? You want to arrest them all? Is that what you want to do? You want to not allow anybody to protest? Is that what you want? These are the same people who said they were pro-free speech like 7.5 minutes ago. Now when it's speech they don't like, we need to stop this. Get Trump in there to stop this. How unhinged are these people? How unhinged? And she's like, of course, it's not fair what they're doing to him. They're just trying to keep him off the campaign trail. What wouldn't be fair is if he committed all these crimes and you let him do it because he's a former president. So, hey, we don't charge elites with crimes. Let him get away with it. That would be unfair. That would mean justice is not blind and justice isn't applied equally. But no, she flips it. It's unfair to go after him for the crimes he committed. All right, she was the most unhinged one, but I want to keep listening to what these people have to say because there's always something in these.
Sir, how you doing?
Good.
I see you got your MAGA shirt on.
I do.
The president is, there's all these cases, but we're starting in New York. What do you feel about it? Do you think that is fair?
Not at all.
I love the softball questions. Do you think that the persecution and witch hunt of Trump is fair? Like, gee, I wonder what they're going to say.
Going after him just to keep him off the trail. And if it was anybody else, it wouldn't even be a case. But just because he's a president, they're going after him. It's the only way they could.
If it was anybody else, they would have been in jail years ago. Years and years and years ago. He gets away with so much because he's a former president.
And so the question is, guys, can Donald Trump get a fair process in New York City? Sir, what do you think about that? You got Donald Trump, he's in Manhattan, you got a DA that made a campaign promise to go after him. The area that is seating the jury, only 80% of them are Democrats and only 20% of them voted for Donald Trump. Do you feel like they can be fair?
Absolutely not.
So what do you want? You want 100% pro-Trump people on the jury? Would that be fair to you guys? Then they would say it's fair. If everybody's massively pro-Trump, if everybody's part of the cult, that's fair. By the way, they are trying to control for political factors in this. They dismissed anybody who was very political. So they're trying to find people who don't care or are relatively apolitical or don't have extreme opinions. I think they dismissed one of the guys because he compared Trump to Berlusconi. That's just accurate. That's not a shot at him. That's not positive or negative. It's just, yeah, he reminds people of Silvio Berlusconi, the former Italian prime minister. He's very similar to him in many ways. That person made like an objective comparison that was a fair one, and they got kicked off. So the idea, oh my God, it's biased against him. They're just finding the most anti-Trump people they can. And that's not true. It's not true. And again, what they want is take the trial to Alabama, get everybody on the jury wearing a Trump hat, and then we'll say it's fair. Because anything biased in favor of Trump is fair. That's how they think about this.
The media as a whole has made it their mission to try and come together against Donald Trump, and that's all they're concerned about is beating him.
And what is Fox News and One American News Network and Newsmax and conservative media and Ben Shapiro and Steven Crowder and all the right wing independent Charlie Kirk, all these types of people, what are they doing? Oh, that's right. They come together to try to end Joe Biden. Right. So this, media is unfair going after Trump. Look, in some ways, I do think they go against Trump in dumb ways. I don't think they know how to do it properly based on policy, based on, you know, actual information about how he is, etc. I think they're not the best at it. And yeah, they do go after Trump like that. But like, again, to them, it's okay. It's not okay to do that. But it is okay when I watch Fox News 24/7 and all they do is shit on Biden all day long, right? So it's just there's no consistency.
And why this is important is because Michigan is a swing state. The big question that is on voters' mind as well as guys is why the timing? Why wait until the election to do this? You had like 3.5 years to come up with some sort of case.
Because they're bitches. They didn't want to pull the trigger right away. It was only when he decided, yeah, like I'm running. They were like, oh, he's not going silently into the night. I think they would have let him get away with all of his crimes if he didn't run. I do think that's true. So in a sense, you can say it's politically motivated, but that doesn't mean that the crimes aren't real. And they are. And if I had my way, they would have charged him whether or not he decided to run. All right, we could wrap it up there, but another one of those, we want to know what real people think. So we went to Trumpsville, Michigan, to talk to this very objective woman wearing a Trump flag and crying about how persecuted he is. Thank you. We're really in touch with what the average American is thinking there, even though all the polls show the opposite, that if he gets criminal conviction, he's very likely to lose. Very, very likely to lose, according to every poll. If he's criminally convicted, he's in real trouble. But they're trying to weave the narrative, push it in the opposite direction, and talk to unhinged weirdos who will give you terrible opinions. So this right here is really interesting to me. Apparently, Trump has been warned to, quote, cut his losses and cut a deal in his hush money criminal trial. So that tells me perhaps the case is stronger than I realized. I always said that this is kind of the weakest case in terms of it doesn't really get to the core of everybody's issue with Trump. You know, it's not like people didn't know he was sleeping with fucking like Playboy models and shit and that he's a perv. Everybody probably already knew that. And that's not criminal, right? But when you get into the specifics of how the hush money was paid and it was fraudulently reported and all that stuff, then yes, you could have a crime. But really, the main issue people have is more in relation to trying to steal the election, the fraudulent elector scheme, pressuring congresspeople and senators to reject the results of the election, flirting with declaring martial law, telling Bill Barr to release a memo of falsehoods about how the election wasn't fair, etc. Like, that's the real core. So I wish those other cases were first, the Jack Smith case in particular, but also the Georgia case. I wish that was first. It's not. We're not going to get that before the election. That's a little devastating. But we do have this one coming before the election, so it's the only one we're going to get before the election. So honestly, almost everything's riding on this case, right? Because once he is president, you can no longer criminally go after him. You can only impeach him. And so a lot's riding on this case. But listen to this. As Donald Trump's hush money trial kicks into its second day with a hearing on his apparent violation of Judge Juan Merchan's gag order, a former Department of Justice prosecutor suggested the embattled ex-president read the writing on the wall and seek a plea deal. In an interview with Salon's Chauncey DeVega, attorney Kenneth McCallion, who investigated Trump for racketeering, stated the trial is starting off well for Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. As he noted, the jury will soon settle in and see Trump less as a former president and more like a typical defendant, which is not a factor in his favor. And although McCallion doesn't believe the former president will take his advice, he still thinks he should try and get out from under his criminal legal woes by making a deal that includes stepping aside from politics. According to the former prosecutor, the longer the trial goes on, the smaller a window for a deal shrinks, and it might be best to get going on one before a flood of witnesses take the stand and his guilt becomes harder to dismiss. That's interesting. Pressed by Salon's DeVega, McCallion first explained, It is not going to get better. All of these criminal trials are going to merge into one long continuous criminal trial, just on different charges, but basically telling the same story of corruption and venality. Having said that, he added, I would tell him that you're running a great campaign and fielding all these cases at the same time, but now's the time to cut your losses. You can still withdraw from the campaign before the Republican convention, and you can cut a deal with both the New York State prosecutors and the federal prosecutors. All you have to do is agree to be a regular citizen from now on and concentrate on your businesses. That's going to be a win-win situation for you. I don't know, man. Here's the thing. If he's going to make a deal in this New York case, I'm actually convinced it would just be in this New York case. You're not going to get Fannie Willis and the state of Georgia, and you're not going to get Jack Smith and the federal prosecutors. You're going to get all of them to agree. You're all going to sit down at a table, even though there's 88 different charges. You're all going to sit down and you're all going to agree, yeah, we'll cut a deal with you, but the deal is going to revolve around being a regular citizen. I don't think that would happen. I think if he were to make a deal in this case, it would be just for this case. It would be just with Alvin Bragg and the state of New York. Right? And I don't know. Maybe he should take a deal. Maybe he should. Because the case might be building in a strong way against him. But I don't know. And we've had this conversation before, too, about do you think that is a good deal for him to basically, hey, just step aside from politics and then we'll sort of let you off with all this stuff. As a matter of principle, I kind of don't like that because it's like you're just letting him get away with so many different crimes that are serious crimes. I mean, trying to overthrow the election, that's horrible, right? So on the one hand, I don't like it. But then on the other hand, I do understand the logic of it that like if the price you pay for making sure he never gets close to power again is saying, whatever, you go play golf the rest of your life. Is that really that big of a loss? I mean, it certainly doesn't feel like justice because justice is you did the crimes, you got to do the time. So I don't know. I'm kind of mixed on making a deal of that nature anyway, but let me know what you guys think because I'm of the belief that if there were a deal cut in this instance, it would be just with Alvin Bragg. It would not be, we're going to get Jack Smith involved. We're going to get Fannie Willis involved. We're going to sit down. We're going to figure it all out. But, I do actually think now, and perhaps I didn't before, I do actually think now, based on just the first couple days of the trial, I do think he's in trouble. Because ultimately, in the courtroom, it's kind of like a show, right? They're putting on a show for the jury. And right now, the show, they're just getting started. It's the first witness. And Trump's already being shivved in the side in a thousand different ways. You have the guy who was the head of the National Enquirer in there, basically spilling all the dirt on how he did fake news with Trump. He would do catch and kill stories where he would get paid by the Trump campaign to not drop a negative story about Trump as they're making up stuff about Ted Cruz and Hillary Clinton and Marco Rubio and Ben Carson. And like, that's kind of a big deal. It's kind of exposing like you had a whole fake news machine working on your behalf. And this is the guy who accused everybody else of doing fake news. Like, you're going to be building the case, as they point out, you're going to be building the case of like, this is a really unethical guy. This is a really corrupt guy. And some of these things he was doing crossed the line into being illegal activity, like a hush money payment that was fraudulently reported, etc., right? So, I don't know. Would you guys take the deal if it means he steps aside or not? And do you think it's even on the table to have all of the different prosecutors sitting around the table negotiating for him to step aside, right? I know Crystal is skeptical of that notion at all, that like, she doesn't even know if they have the ability to make a deal that includes something like that. Like, as long as you step out of politics, that's... I don't know if they have that ability or that authority either to include that as part of a deal, right? Certainly be like any deal ever made in human history. So, I don't know. But look, he's been warned. He's been warned to make a deal because the case, the hush money case, is building. And perhaps it's stronger than many of us realized. All right, guys. We got a big old feud going on here. We got a big old feud. We got a fight among some well-known people here that I'm going to break down for you. So Keith Olbermann went after Stephen A. Smith. Now, I'm going to read through what he says here. I'll get into the specifics of why not only Keith Olbermann, but other people are really pissed off at Stephen A. Smith right now. Then I'll get to Keith Olbermann's video on it, and I'll break it all down for you. So Keith Olbermann says, why ESPN must either silence or fire Stephen A. Smith? It's longstanding policy. No, you can't be a sportscaster on one station and an advocate for a presidential candidate on another station is right. I know. I helped to author it because the day when you or I could straddle both worlds is long gone. So in other words, what Keith is saying is I was in a position where I was doing sports on the one hand and politics on the other hand, and ESPN was uncomfortable with that. So they basically were like, it's one or the other, homie. And now he's mad because Stephen A. Smith on his own podcast gets to talk about politics while still having a deal with ESPN. Okay, and being the number one guy at ESPN. So why is today's ESPN letting Smith do it? Why is he campaigning for Trump on Fox News? That's a lie, by the way. We'll come back to that. He is not campaigning for Trump on Fox News. ESPN must make him choose advocating for a despot or keeping his job, saying nothing particularly relevant about sports, not both. And I'd insist on the same either or, either of if he were either. That's a weird sentence. He'd insist the same even if he was campaigning for Biden. Okay. And Trump's stochastic threat number 1 million, he wants his thugs to be allowed to protest at the front of the courthouse all over the country. Okay, so he's going on talking about some other shit here. Let me just play the video for you, because this is what he says about Stephen A. God, look at his face. Remember when he did those videos for, like, GQ, and he would go on these unhinged rants, and it was very strange? He certainly lost the sauce from, like, back in 2004 or 5 or whenever he was relevant. All right, let's watch this.
Here are the headlines from the Tuesday edition of the Countdown podcast, now live wherever you podcast. ESPN must either silence its top figure, Stephen A. Smith, or fire Stephen A. Smith. Once upon a time, a long time ago, you could be on one television channel talking benignly about good old sports, while you were also on another television channel talking about party politics, partisanship, and even endorsing one presidential candidate over another. A long time ago. I know this because I used to do it a long time ago. A long time ago, like 2010. But this is no longer 2010. So why is ESPN letting Stephen A. Smith go on Fox News and campaign for Donald Trump? They either have to silence him or they have to get rid of him.
All right, so let's break this down. Why is Keith Olbermann pissed at Stephen A. Smith? Why are other people were pissed at Stephen A. Smith, too? Well, he went on Fox News, which he does somewhat often, maybe once every month or two, something like that. He went on Fox News. He talked to Sean Hannity, and Sean Hannity brought up the polling data that shows that Trump has gained a lot of support among the black community in particular. And I think specifically black men, right, is where more of the black support is being picked up by Trump. And look, on the polling data, that's inarguable. There was a number of polls that came out over the past couple months that showed Trump doing better, not only with black people, also with Latinos, also with young people, he was doing better. So Trump's biggest weakness is like suburban women and just the suburbs in general, but he was making some strides among black people, young people, Latino people. That's a fact. Okay, so that was brought up by Hannity, and Stephen A. Smith went on to echo a similar point, which we have made fun of previously, where he said, you know, Trump brought up the reason why black people are beginning to like me is because I'm being persecuted unfairly by the justice system, and they can understand going through that because that's happened to them for a long time. I think that point is dumb. I think it's super condescending to black people, as if, like, what? They can't determine, based on the facts of individual cases, whether their sympathy is merited. They can feel bad for somebody who goes to prison unfairly because of some dumb, mucked-up drug charge. They can understand that, say, that I feel bad for, while also saying, no, this guy's charged with 91 crimes because he committed 91 crimes. This guy tried to overthrow the election. This guy committed, like, 14 different kinds of fraud, which he was just found that he has to pay $454 million for all that stuff. So I don't think the reason he brought up is the actual reason why there are some more black people that like Trump. Now, by the way, it's still not nearly, it's not that much, but it's more than it was. Usually Republicans got like 5% of the black vote or something like that, and it's more than that. So do I agree with Stephen A. Smith that that's a real reason why black people are now supporting Trump at higher numbers? Of course not. I think it's less about Trump and more about people are just pissed off with Biden for a variety of reasons. You could point to any of a number of things. Okay. So Stephen A., I think, is wrong about that. But Keith Olbermann says he's campaigning for Trump on Fox News. Not only is he not campaigning for Trump, he doesn't support Trump at all. Stephen A. Smith was just on the PBD podcast, and they were basically begging him to vote Republican and vote for Donald Trump. And he was basically like, no. Like, no, I got problems with Biden. I got problems with the Democrats, but I voted for Biden in 2020 and I'm gonna vote for him again. So for Keith Olbermann to say he's campaigning for Trump, look, I want to be kind here. Maybe he's just misinformed, but it certainly feels more like a lie, doesn't it? Because, I watch Stephen A. Smith's stuff all the time. He's sort of like an enlightened centrist. I don't agree with all of his political takes. Maybe it's like a 50-50 type thing with him. But like, he did not say that. He does not have that position, and it is very obviously checkable to see whether or not he has that position. So we took something Stephen A. Smith said, and he misconstrued it and said, oh, he's campaigning for Trump. He supports Trump. That's not true. That's not true. Okay, so now let's get to the core of it. Should Stephen A. Smith be fired from ESPN? Because sometimes he talks about politics, and while he also talks about sports, and Olbermann wasn't allowed to do that, so Stephen A. Smith shouldn't be allowed to do that. Here's my answer. No, he should not be fired. Why do I say that? Look, I don't know how to break this to Keith Olbermann. The reason why you were fired actually has nothing to do with the fact that you were talking about politics on the one hand and sports on the other hand. The reason you were fired is because you're a fucking psychopath. Nobody likes you. Nobody likes you. Guys, I'm in this business. I know people who are in this business, this political commentary, pundit business, whatever you want to call it, right? The fact of the matter is, everybody I've talked to who knows Keith Olbermann, who's worked with Keith Olbermann, every single one of them has said the same thing in a remarkably consistent fashion. You don't understand. He is crazy. Crazy. Treats his staffers like shit, treats everybody like shit, demands a million things, yells at people. So, look, they may have hid behind, we don't want you doing politics and sports at the same time, that's why we're firing you. But that's not actually why you were fired. You were fired because nobody fucking liked you, and you annoy the shit out of everybody. And as weird as you look on camera, you're just as weird and terrible in real life. Okay. So Stephen A., I guess people like him behind the scenes. I guess the bosses like him. I guess his fellow employees like him. I guess the people who work underneath him like him. And by the way, he also has two separate things. One is his own podcast that he got approval to do. He's doing his own podcast. And then on the other hand, he works for ESPN. Those are two separate jobs. He does what he wants on his podcast, and then he does what ESPN tells him to do on ESPN, right? So, look, I hate to tell you, Keith, but that rule in the first place was kind of dumb. I think people should be able to talk about sports, politics, whatever the hell they want to talk about. The rule was dumb, but the rule was just a front. It was a veneer for the reality, which is nobody likes you, and that's why you were fired. You're a psycho, and that's why you were fired. Okay, so, sorry, but Stephen A. should be allowed to say whatever he wants on his own podcast, do the ESPN stuff, go on Fox News, go on MSNBC, go wherever. That's all fine with me. It should be fine with everybody. And again, this comes from somebody, I don't agree with Stephen A. on a lot of things. I don't. He's an enlightened centrist. I find that kind of goofy and cringe. But also, and again, the final point, which I'll reiterate an earlier point, just don't fucking lie. Don't lie about what his position is. He's not campaigning for Trump. He didn't endorse Trump. He's not voting for Trump. In fact, the story came out a couple months ago where he was begging, I want to debate Trump. So, yeah, there you go. People just don't like you, Keith. And this is a good example of it here. The fact that you're either just totally wrong or lying about Stephen A. And in the process, you don't know your facts on it. And you're like, you need to get fired. What a loser. What a loser. Anyway, Team Stephen A., even though sometimes he's cringe and sometimes I disagree with him, he's very entertaining, way more entertaining than Keith Olbermann, and clearly way more balanced mentally than Keith Olbermann. All right, guys, that's the show. Love y'all very much. You know the drill. Everybody, please click like, click subscribe, all that fun stuff. Click that bell icon so you get a notification every single time a video drops. We have Dave Smith on Crystal Kyle and Friends this week. You're not going to want to miss that. We're going to talk about Israel, Palestine, Gaza, his debate, all sorts of stuff. All right, guys. Everybody have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you then. Peace.